Thank you. We're joined as usual by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning, Maureen.
Good morning, everyone.
We're pleased to welcome as our guest, making his first appearance on Political Roundtable, the new chairman of the Rhode Island Republican Party, Brandon Bell, who took his post in March. Thanks for joining us, Brandon.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
As we said, Brandon, you took over the role of GOP chairman in March. Republicans made some minor gains in legislative races last November, but the GOP holds just 16 of 113 General Assembly seats. What do you think the GOP needs to do differently to pick up more legislative representation going forward?
We need to build, obviously, and we need to let people know that we're here. We need to brand our message better. We obviously need to get that message out loud and clear. And we have a renewed vision, opportunity, optimistic agenda going forward. And obviously, once our message gets out there, we believe that we can build this party.
Maureen, we see how Republicans really didn't make gains during the apex of Rhode Island's economic problems. What do you think the party should have done differently to make ground, or what should it do now?
Well, I think they were working at a disadvantage because there was such a fractious organization in the state organization. And the first thing they have to start to do is talk about a cohesive strategy. I think that's what Brendan referred to. And there are opportunities when you talk about the differences between public services and the concern about taxes and so forth. So if you could articulate that vision and then recruit people, you know, you have some beginning stars that are coming along in the legislature. I think that's the way to craft a message. But you've got to get on the same page. Given the smallness of the organization and the number of Republicans in the state, this is a challenge, but one I think you should is capable of overcoming.
Scott, we know how Republicans elected more people to state general offices back in the 1980s. What was different then from now?
A couple of things are different. One, they recruited a lot of women candidates. You forget that Claudine Schneider, for instance, and John Chafee actually was instrumental in doing that. Barbara Leonard. They had people winning statewide offices who were women, Susan Farmer. And I think that they should probably get more women candidates would be good, number one. Number two, I also think that, look, there's a lot of legislative seats, particularly south of the Appanagan-Dixon line, that should be more competitive than they are. And I think they need better candidates, they need better messaging, and they need to raise money and build an organization so that they'll have a ground game. It seems often that with labor unions on the Democratic side, that the Republican allies, small business people, generally don't build as good a ground game and they don't raise as much money. And I think they really need to do that.
Governor Gina Raimondo has placed three senior engineers at the State Department of Transportation on paid leave. The governor says this is part of an ongoing organization at RIDOT. Is the governor right, Scott, that DOT needs to be reorganized? And if so, what kind of changes do you see as most important?
Well, it's tough because there hasn't been a lot of transparency in all of this, and I think that's a real problem that a lot of Rhode Islanders are looking at. Obviously, with the shape of our bridges and roads, we know there's problems with our infrastructure. So to the extent that DOT can answer some of these problems, can provide answers to it, that would be great. The other side of it, though, is, you know, as we talked about before, paving machines and graders aren't going to magically appear out of the sky to fix our roads. So we're going to have to find a revenue stream to support building infrastructure. That said, we also need competent people at DOT who can run the programs.
Brandon Bell, you're no stranger to driving around on Rhode Island roads.
I think there's a huge problem at DOT. And I think the real question, and let's be realistic, you know, at the end of the day, is what are we doing with the money? How are we getting the biggest bang for the buck at the DOT? I don't claim to know the answer or the answers in that sense, but I could tell you that there's some very suspicious activity recently, and not to be a conspiracy theorist, but to put three people on leave who are suspended, that they're not the reason that the roads and bridges are the worst in the country, but potentially a solution. Let's change how the institution works. Let's be realistic. The building and trade unions got Governor Raimondo through the primary, and who's calling the shots over there? This is not a reorganization. It's not transparent. You know, what happened to the DOT consultant that was hired, for example? There are so many unanswered questions, and you know, we deserve answers at this point in time. This is just the lack of transparency. I agree with Scott on that issue very much.
I mean, Maureen, to follow up on Brandon's point, these three DOT senior employees who are on paid leave represent about $500,000 in salaries. Is this good for taxpayers to have these people at home collecting salaries?
Well, I mean, I don't think it's good for them to be homes collecting salaries, but clearly there's a lot of mismanagement that this indicates is going on. And I think in fairness to the governor, she's trying to do something about it. We have a new person in charge. And I think what you're going to see not only in as far as the Department of Transportation, but other organizations as we go along, we're seeing movement now where they're readjusting and, frankly, in some cases, cleaning house. And there's going to be some disruption. But I do agree that while we're in this process, there needs to be a level of transparency. So there's accountability for whatever changes are being made.
Speaking of Governor Raimondo, the governor wants to raise the salaries of the six lowest paid members of her cabinet. Governor Raimondo says this is about fairness, but our guest Brandon Bell is critical of the move. He says the money would be better used for tax relief. What do you think, Maureen?
I disagree completely. I mean, these salaries are completely low. There's a lot of people that work under them that make more money. One of the interesting things we see is in the Department of Health, there was one medical examiner that seemed to be straightening things out. He left his job, went to Connecticut for more money. I mean, we have to pay these people. They run vast organizations, multi-millions of dollars, huge employees. We've got to come to terms with the fact that we've got to pay them a decent salary. So I welcome a loyal opposition, and I think it's good that you keep reminding people of what needs to be done. But on this one, I'd have to take the opposite point of view.
Brandon Bell, you've criticized how the largest proposed percentage increase for one of these cabinet members is about 33%. But in the grand sum, the dollar amount of these proposed raises is not an incredibly large amount of money. What do you say to Maureen's point that raises are an important part of helping to retain talent for cabinet members?
Well, respectfully, I think it's the concept. It's not so much the amount of money. These folks took these jobs within the last few months. They're getting 33% raise. We just did basic comparisons, and I looked at not just Massachusetts, which is what the governor used as a comparison, which is, 10 times the land mass and probably 7 times the population than Rhode Island. I looked at New Hampshire, for example, and the commissioner of transportation there, in comparing the director of transportation, makes less than what Director Alviti makes right now. Makes about $119,000. I would just say, let's look at the size, let's look at the responsibility, and how about merit? This goes back to the transparency question. How about let's give them give a reason for the raise? It sends a bad message.
Scott, what do you say to Brandon's points?
Well, Chairman Bell obviously wants to keep his eye on the taxpayers' money. That's a good thing. The other side of this, though, is that at the high realm, state employees are paid far less than people in the private sector. Is there anywhere in the private sector, for instance, that somebody like Mike DBA's director of administration, who runs and oversees an $8 billion budget, makes $130,000 a year? I don't think there's anywhere in the private sector like that.
Last word here quickly to Brandon Bell.
Again, I think it's the concept and not so much the issue of what each one is going to get paid or is proposed to get paid. And the idea that right now we don't believe, from my perspective and the Republican Party's perspective, that Governor Raimondo has any real game changers in that budget. And at this point in time, show us something. Show us that you're growing manufacturing jobs. Do something. Show us that the roads and bridges are getting fixed, and then propose these raises.
But the budget did attract unanimous support from the Republican representatives in the General Assembly. Sadly, we're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Thank you.
Maureen.
Thank you.
And Rhode Island Republican Party Chairman Brandon Bell.
Thank you again for having me.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And if you enjoy the conversation, please visit our On Politics blog at ripr.org.
Major funding for Political Roundtable is provided by the Rhode Island Foundation, using philanthropy to move Rhode Island forward.